In a world full of rush and hurry, it's so important to set aside time to just be still. To reconnect that vital relationship with a God who loves and wants to be close to you. So sit back and settle in for the next few minutes. And welcome to Common Prayer. Well, welcome to Common Prayer Season 3. It is here. We did it.
Woo.
And you know, by the way, I'm Brandon and I'm here with Kevin and Kathy, your hosts for Common Prayer. And, you know, I was thinking as we're embarking upon Season 3, you guys, that I don't know if you are Netflix people, but I am. And
I am.
The shows that make it to Season 3, it's a rare thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You make it a couple seasons, and then people are done with you. And I think that, you know, it means that we're basically on the upper echelon of all things podcasting, the fact that we have made it to Season 3, even though we don't technically have sponsors or anything like that.
But we could. Nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
We could. We are open to that possibility.
That's right. We could. So we left last season from Advent, and now we're moving into another season. But Kathy, you made a comment when we were talking about this earlier that I thought was interesting. You said that you had the best Advent ever, which is an interesting statement. I was wondering if you could maybe clarify that a little bit. By the way, this episode is brought to you by Tide. wash all your clothes in Tide and
smells
God will love
good.
You more. Okay, continue.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the best Advent ever because I think before it started, I was just kind of fed up with myself as far as I was so aware that I was feeling so tired of never really feeling prepared and ready for Christmas. Like I'd show up at a Christmas Eve service and think, oh my God, it's here. Because I had gotten a lot more caught up in hurrying around, getting my Christmas cards out, getting my girls all dressed, you know, in their Christmas best for being with Santa or whatever, you know, getting all the gifts off my list and getting my menu just right or whatever. Like, that makes a successful Christmas. And I thought, I'm a pastor. I shouldn't be doing this. And some were a little bit more meaningful than others. But this last Advent, I thought, I'm not going to go for another one where I sensed there was just too little Jesus and too much all the trappings, or too much me being concerned about checking everything off my list. And so this year, just about every single day, I stopped and I very intentionally listened and I took time to pray and I listened to Common Prayer almost every episode. Thank you, Kevin, and others. And it made all the difference, you guys. I was ready this year and I was full of joy, and I know that this Christmas was a lot different than Christmas past, but, you know, even online, everything else, my heart and my spirit felt prepared, and I thought, you know, there's not too little Jesus this time. He's here in full force.
That's so good. You know, Kathy, I was thinking about how, you know, one of the things we've been doing with Common Prayer is trying to sync up with the church calendar. And personally, myself, I've been so intrigued by this idea of the church calendar for a few years now. And, you know, as you go through the calendar, what I find so interesting is how much time is set aside for preparation, like exactly what you were just describing there. I mean, think of, again, Advent. Advent is really just a preparation for Christmas. Lent, which we're moving into soon, is the preparation for Easter. You know, we get these massive holidays where we're celebrating. I mean, Christmas is the celebration of the incarnation of God. I mean, how about, like, that is so important to our faith. It's so important to our Christian story. And so often we just, like, rush into it. Like, we just run right into it, as you described. I mean, when you're talking about worrying about Christmas cards and gifts and getting your girls ready, and I mean, My goodness, I resonate with that like so deeply. And I think we can just rush into these moments without ever really doing the work of preparing our hearts, without really preparing us to encounter God. There's this great quote by Joan Chittister, who I can never pronounce her name right. But this is what she says. She's talking about the effect the calendar has on us. She says this. She says, like a great water wheel, the liturgical year goes on relentlessly irrigating our soul, softening the ground of our hearts, nourishing the soil of our lives until the seed of the Word of God itself begins to grow in us and comes to fruit in us, ripens us in the spiritual journey of a lifetime. Man, I love that image because that's what the church calendar offers, right? Is year in and year out, these opportunities for it to irrigate our soul, right? Mm. Softening us, softening our hearts to prepare for something like as big as Christmas and as big as Easter. One more illustration I was thinking of is, by the time this airs, either spring training has started or it starts the next day. And in my family, I grew up in a family where baseball was huge. It's a big part of our family culture. It's really one of the ways that me and my brother and my dad connect. And so, we have this text thread that often goes neglected for most of the winter. But around this time of year, we start texting each other a little bit more. We start talking about who's going to make the starting rotation for the Giants, who's playing shortstop, what are we, how bad are the Dodgers looking, like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We begin to, every year, this is the rhythm. And then through the spring, through the summer, into the fall, we will be texting back and forth and we'll watch games together. We'll do, all of this, right? And what's interesting is it has a seasonal rhythm to it. And so in the same way that like baseball, that season creates a space for me to connect with my brother and my dad, the church calendar does that. It creates these rhythms in which we can then step into greater connection with God. And so it's that sort of like rhythmic approach that I find the calendar really helps us out with. And I'm convinced God's a baseball fan as well. So I think that's a piece of it as well.
Giants fan.
Yeah.
I just was thinking like there's not a lot that we can do for God. Like I try to think of like, what could I do? What do I have? It's almost like when you have like a really, like the kind of friend that buys himself everything he ever wanted. Like you don't know what to get that friend because he just has everything he wants. He doesn't need you. Like God doesn't need me for anything, but I feel like what brings him joy is when I make time for him. Mm. Like when I just kind of set aside times, and the more intentional I can be about making time, it's like any other relationship. I got to think that kind of brings a smile to God's face almost as much as baseball does,
I love that.
But the cool thing about this, what we're doing that we're realizing is this is really tying into our vision at CPC too, because, for the last couple of years, most of you know that we've been going through these four pillars, starting with worship. What do we want to accentuate in our church, and what do we want to really develop and grow more in our worship, our spiritual formation, which this one's really hitting, our equipping in our cultural engagement. But Kevin, how would you say this like really ties into the spiritual formation pillar that we worked on? I don't know. I guess that was last year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think Kathy, you kind of subtly mentioned it without realizing is, that idea of intentionality. And even as you were talking about your experience with Advent and how intentional you were to wake up every morning to spend that moment in prayer, I mean, that makes a world of difference. And, our definition for the spiritual formation pillar, or for spiritual formation, I should say, is that it's the process of intentionally opening our lives to the work of the Spirit to become more like Christ. And so what we try to capture with common prayer is that intentionality, right? It's let's breathe a little life into it. Let's breathe some intention into our times of prayer, because that cultivates, right, this sort of opening of our lives to where then the Holy Spirit can do what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And so in so many ways, that's, common prayer and what we're going to do through the season of Lent here is that intentionality. It's creating some of that that I think is really effective. Brandon, I know you mentioned, we were talking earlier and you were talking a little bit about some of the intentionality around like worship planning and the way that that brings about that sort of intimacy. I'd love for you to maybe share a little bit of that again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think just you know, thinking through my lens in planning worship services, there's this kind of this this principle that I've realized that intimacy is a progression. And like I will spend an entire week, maybe an entire month, planning a worship service. And I think through and pray through the songs. And, you know, I've had all of these deep experiences with it. And so when Sunday morning comes, I'm there. I'm like on this like deep level with God, and I'm ready to go deep. And I think that, you know, sometimes when I'm training worship leaders, I try to remind them that people aren't there when they get to church, you know, when they're first coming out of their cars and they've just gotten a fight with their husband or their wife, and maybe their kids are, you know, causing problems or crying when they drop them off in the nursery and they feel bad for the worker. There's just a million things that are happening that when you like walk into the service, now online, you're just not, you haven't had that progression. And I just feel like, you know, it sort of speaks to the larger thing here that, you know, we can't just jump right into Easter. We can't just jump right into Christmas. That there can be an intentionality about that progression. Like Kathy said, you know, spending, you know, weeks thinking through Advent, weeks preparing her heart and preparing her family's heart for the main event, so to speak. That's just kind of where I was thinking about things. And so we have Lent around the corner. That's what we're going to be focusing on with this in this next thing. So, so Kathy, you being, you know, the well-read Christian that you are, the sacred pastor that you are, I feel like there are a lot of sort of, when we think about Lent, there's a lot of things that come to mind. I mean, everybody kind of knows, even if they're not in the church world, they have an idea of what they think Lent is. And I feel like there's got to be some misconceptions around it. Like, is it really just about giving up candy?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I actually grew up that way, in that on my block on Gregory Street and Gregory Place in my town, I would say at least 80% of the families were Catholic. And it was a big deal when Lent came around because, you know, I'd see ashes on their forehead and think, wash your face, you know, what's going on? Or they'd say, I'm giving up sugar. I'm giving up TV. I'm going on a diet. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And that's what I thought. And it's good to think about what something isn't before you think about what it is, at least. I find that helpful. It's not just a Catholic thing. It's not this legalistic thing. Lent is meant to be, it's 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter. And it's meant to be this time of reflection and even repentance. And it's not intended to bring this shame on anyone, but just the awareness that sin really does separate us from God, and it helps to think about what it cost Jesus to be, or what God did to reunite us to Him through Jesus on the cross. And it's an opportunity to contemplate what our Lord really did for us on the cross and what the resurrection really means. And as we take that time, you know, 40 days, maybe isn't Advent in the neighborhood of 40 days too, pretty close?
Yeah, it's around there.
What if we don't make it this legalistic thing to give up something, but avail ourselves and intentionally give ourselves to the Lord to speak to us and to take time to reflect and repent and think about what He did, what happens is that there is this, like you mentioned, Brandon, there's just a progression to intimacy with Jesus. We get closer and closer, and we're tuned in, and we're in sync with Him. And it reminds me of this time when my girls, I think they were like in first grade and third grade. And when I would pick them up at school, a lot of times moms would watch their kids play on the playground. And this one mom that I knew pretty well, and our kids were friends, it was getting sort of close to Easter. And she said, "You know what, Kathy, can you believe that some people actually think that Jesus Christ himself, like, just ta-da, you know, rose from the dead? How can people believe that?" And, you know, she happened to be Jewish, and she knew I was a pastor, so she must not have thought that I believed. But I said, "Nancy, that the resurrection is what Christianity rises and falls from. It is the bedrock of our faith." And in fact, 1 Corinthians says that if Christ has not been raised, our faith is useless and we're still in our sins. Easter is the Super Bowl plus 1,000 times better of our faith. And if we just rush into it or just hope for the best that we're going to have this meaningful experience with Jesus in it, we're fooling ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes me think, like, it's almost like if we were, tell me if this analogy makes any sense. This came to my brain. Like, what if I was like, okay, I'm equating Lent here. Like, if I made Lent just about giving up something.
Yeah.
Like country music.
I go to the gym and I'm like, you know, I'm going to try really hard. I'm going to work out super hard. And so I spend like an hour at the gym and I sweat and I lift and all that kind of stuff. And then I go and I get like a supersized meal at McDonald's right afterwards. And that's my rhythm. It's like, I'm not even intentional about what I'm doing. I'm just sort of like doing some kind of mindless activity that, I don't know. Does that make any sense? Is that a good analogy? No, it's not, is it?
I was trying to find something.
I wish you guys could see Kevin's face right now. He was like, he had this frown like, what are you saying?
Okay.
Right, okay, this is just how my third grade brain tries to comprehend things, Kathy. No.
So you continue. Prepared for something, you did something really good for you, and then you just negated it all? Is that what you're saying?
I guess I'm just going. This is so going to get edited out. I guess I was just going after the idea that, like, you know, I think the first thought I think is healthy, which I think for Lent, the first thought you think when you want to give something up is this must be good for me somehow. And if that's as far as you go, you're going to undo all any good that you might come from it. And yeah. I think the point that I'm trying to make poorly is intentionality is key here. Like going after this season with some real intentionality. As opposed to just making it some kind of ritual or rote exercises.
Or just hoping for the best. And,
You know, and Kathy, as you were talking, there's kind of two phrases that came to mind, you know, around this idea of legalism and shame that's so often wrapped up in really any of the practices, right? Any of the ways in which we approach our spiritual life, our natural pull is towards that legalism. Right, it's towards rigidity. It's towards making it about what rules do I have to follow to uphold this?
Proving ourselves.
Yeah, all of that. And you know, I find like the more I read Jesus, the more I come to understand his teaching. You know, Jesus is just like ruthlessly pragmatic. He so often is just, here's a way of life, right? And like here it is, and he lays it before us, and he just says, you know, I've come to bring life, not destruction. And if you want to take up me up on that opportunity, here it is. You know, in some ways, Brandon, to maybe tie in your analogy here, it's like, you know, the path to health, right? You know, it's exercise and eat well, like that's it. And we can choose which way we want to go, right? It's just, it's much more in the pragmatic realm of, you know, do we believe that Jesus is in fact Lord, is in fact smart and understands the world enough to say, here's a different way on offer. I mean, that's what we were talking about just the other day at staff about Sabbath. It's the same thing. It doesn't have to be this legalistic thing, but rather it's here is the option. You know, I was thinking of even, Joan Chittitzer, which might be the second time I've screwed her name up in this episode, is that, you know, she defines Lent this way. She says, Lent is the period in which learning to abstain from adoring at the shrine of the self, we come to see beyond the divinity we've made of ourselves to the divine will for all the world. Right? Like, I mean, how good is that idea that Lent, you know, dethrones us from the shrine of self, which I think, to be honest, is where legalism and really in some ways shame can be centered. It's that we have centered ourselves on that, that, you know, that shrine of the self has taken the utmost perspective. And so because of that, legalism, all of that is we have to do this so for our sake, so that we achieve whatever, so that we are approved of, confident of, and it completely removes God from the picture. Whereas Lent is that opportunity to remove that, to recenter on God by us becoming smaller, you know, by us shrinking a little.
Yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to take that shrine of myself down now after you said that quote. Yeah. It's going to be a rough night.
Yeah.
Man. Extinguish the candles that have been burning there for years, huh?
Oh man.
So we've always kind of established in these last two seasons there's always a different rhythm, and I'm just curious, things are probably going to change up again this season. So for those that are thinking about signing on, what do they have to expect? What would you say? What's going to be different, or what kind of things are going to be in our daily routine as we go forward?
Well, as Kevin and I were talking about it a little bit ago, I found myself just looking at different books that focused in on Lent, and I found this beautiful, small, simple book written by this South African pastor named Trevor Hudson, and he wrote a book called... Pauses for Lent, 40 Words for 40 Days. And it's this very, very simple, pithy approach to Advent where there's just one word that you concentrate on each day, just one word. And we're going to follow his structure. And what it's going to look like is that there's going to be a word for the day. There's going to be a scripture that kind of encapsulates that word. We're going to have a pastoral reflection or a meditation, maybe a guided prayer. And then we're going to end with a short, what we're calling a daily practice. So it doesn't just stay in your head, but it's something that you can do that has to do with that particular word for the day, and you can kind of get your hands into it. I think they're going to be, our reflections are going to be maybe a little bit shorter and simpler, probably no more than 10 minutes, but that's just to give you a little flavor of what our Lent content is going to be like.
Yeah. You know, as we've been prepping for these, and I know I've been writing material and getting, you know, recording episodes and all of that, I've been fascinated by these daily practices that you mentioned. I think it's such a great way to, as you were saying, get the information from our head and into our body. And, you know, these practices, they range from anything, like I was just looking at one that was around just using words of blessing. And it was try to work a word of blessing into your everyday. Or another one that was, you know, it's talking about dust, and it's just simply, hey, go out and feel dirt in your hand and think about your own existence, right? Which is kind of intense, but it's a great...
Yeah, just a little.
A great
you
way to
dusty
kind of get
guy,
that.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just like a great way to get the information and embody that and to actually live into that meditation. So I'm really excited about that work, and I'm glad you found it and that we're using that.
Well, I love it. I think this is going to be so cool. And I love the idea that we're going to have a word of the day. That reminds me of when I used to watch like Pee Wee Herman. It would have like the word, and he'd finally say the word, and it would, you know, explode. Everybody would be like, yeah. Are
and you can do your Pee Wee Herman dance.
I was going
to
say, you
I'd
can't say
that,
that without the Pee Wee Herman voice. Or the, yeah, come on. Got to have a voice in there.
But, you know, let me, if I can just
You thought about doing it. You thought about it.
If I could leave everyone with a charge, though, as we start this season, as we go into Lent, you know, here's my word of the day. It would be intentionality. That I think it's so easy for us to drift, and we all just have to keep that in our brains, that try as we might, you know, even Paul talks about in the New Testament that, you know, I do the things that I don't want to do and I don't do the things that I do want to do. And we have this thing in us that kind of wanders, that kind of drifts away from even things that we say are important to us, even things that we think we really, really want to do. If we're not intentional about it, if we don't take time to build it into our rhythm, we're going to float away. We're going to kind of wander. And so I like thinking about this tool that we're giving you here, Common Prayer, and actually more than just Kathy and Kevin. It's going to be a whole bunch of different people that are speaking into this. And we're doing this. We're building this tool as an alignment tool to help you kind of realign every single day with the creator of the universe, to help you understand that you're part of a bigger picture. And I just think that's a really, really cool thing. So as we close here, I want to close with a prayer. And so wherever you are listening to this, unless you're actually driving your car, don't close your eyes. But if you could just kind of just quiet yourself as I pray this over you and we say goodbye and launch an awesome season. Almighty and everlasting God, you've created us from the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be for us a symbol of our mortality and a sign of our penitence, that we may remember that it's your grace alone that we receive the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We'll see you tomorrow. Common Prayer is a ministry of Central Peninsula Church in Foster City, California. You can now access and subscribe to Common Prayer episodes on the Google Podcast Store, Apple Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Of course, you can always check back daily right here for episodes at cpc.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.